Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, November 17th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Did Russia fire a missile into Poland? President Biden says that's not the evidence.
Now Ukraine is responding. We speak exclusively with President Vladimir Zelensky.
Republicans take control of the House, setting up battles with Democrats on several fronts.
And the new UK Chancellor of the Exchequer prepares to detail spending cuts and tax hikes.
New York City wants higher minimum pay for app-based food delivery workers, plus former VP Penn says Republicans have better choices than Donald Trump for the White House. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Knicks won in Denver. The local hockey teams played tonight, and Aaron Judge expected to be named today MVP.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We are coming up to 501 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 7 points, Dow futures down 70, and NASDAQ futures down 9. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 3.72%, and the yield on the 2-year, 4.36%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6% or 49 cents at $85.10 a barrel. Nathan.
Karen, we'll get more on the markets in a minute, but first we want to bring you the latest on the investigation into the missile strike that killed two people in Poland. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has insisted the rocket came from Russia. President Biden was asked about it this morning.
What's your reaction to President Zelensky saying that the missiles that landed in Poland were not Ukrainian?
That's not the evidence.
President Biden, along with Poland and NATO, all say the missile likely came from Ukraine's air defenses, but they also say Russia bears ultimate responsibility.
Well, President Zelensky is also facing questions about the airstrike, Nathan. Bloomberg News editor-in-chief John Micklethwaite spoke with the president by a video link at the Bloomberg New Economy Forum in Singapore.
But I'm sure that this is a Russian missile, and I'm sure that we were launching the air defense missiles, but we can't say specifically that this was the air defense of Ukraine, although we are grateful for not being blamed because we are fighting against Russian missiles on our territory. But nevertheless, we have to be fair and honest. Until the investigation is over, we can't say what kind of missile or what pieces of which a missile fell on the Polish territory.
Speaking through an interpreter, President Volodymyr Zelensky says Ukraine will go to the blast site in Poland as part of the investigation. Catch more of our interview with the Ukrainian president from the Bloomberg New Economy Forum coming up shortly in our program.
In the meantime, Karen, future U.S. financial support for Ukraine may be in question now that Republicans have officially gained control in the House of Representatives. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
It is a power shift in Washington, with Republicans winning a narrow House majority. The GOP now has subpoena power and control over powerful committees, and that has Democrats worried about the future of President Biden's agenda and future financial support for Ukraine. Republican lawmakers are set to give closer scrutiny to financial support for Ukraine. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who is set to become Speaker, says Republicans are not going to write a blank check. While President Biden does have some workarounds, GOP demands will make U.S. allies uneasy. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Right, Amy, thank you. Well, Republican control of the House may also benefit financial services firms. Next year, the GOP will lead the powerful Financial Services Committee, which can demand information from the heads of agencies such as the SEC and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and seek to dial up oversight on regulators. Analysts say banks and hedge funds could gain from any slowdown in SEC actions.
In the UK this morning, Karen, investors are closely watching Chancellor of the Exchequer, Jeremy Hunt. He delivers details on the UK's budget today. Let's go live to London and get the very latest with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Tax rises and government spending cuts are coming down the line. Chancellor Jeremy Hunt will stand up in the British Parliament later this morning to set out how he plans to make £55 billion of savings. That's the amount needed for the government to meet its medium-term debt target. The backdrop is UK inflation at a 40-year high, rapidly rising interest rates and forecasts for a recession next year. It's a tough hand to play. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Right, Ewan, thank you. Well, monetary policy is also in focus in Europe this morning. It looks like the European Central Bank may slow down interest rate hikes with only a 50 basis point increase next month. Sources tell Bloomberg that initial talks suggest a lack of momentum for another 75 basis point move. Reasons cited are mounting recession risks and a possible weakening of consumer price pressures.
Well, back here in the U.S., Karen, another Fed officials on board with slowing the pace of rate hikes here. Federal Reserve Governor Christopher Waller spoke in Phoenix yesterday.
Looking forward to the FOMC's December meeting, the data of the past few weeks have made me more comfortable considering stepping down to a 50 basis point hike.
Christopher Waller has been one of the more hawkish members of the Fed. The central bank has raised its benchmark interest rate by 75 basis points four straight times.
Well, now the latest on the collapse of FTX, Nathan. Former CEO Sam Bankman-Fried is telling his side of the story, and he's doing it through a series of tweets. Bankman-Fried admits that FTX got overconfident and careless and said he would do his best to save customers' cash. New management at FTX says Bankman-Fried does not speak on the company's behalf.
Speaking of social media, Karen, the former chairman of Twitter says Elon Musk could be creating room for competitors. Patrick Pichette says that could happen if Musk breaks the ethos of the company. Pichette told Radio Canada it's too early to tell if Musk will be good for Twitter.
Now let's take a look at some stocks on the move this morning. Nathan, following earnings, shares of Cisco up about 4%. That's after the computer networking company gave a bullish forecast. Shares of Nvidia are up more than 2%. The semiconductor maker posting quarterly sales that topped estimates after its data center business helped offset sluggish demand for video game chips. We also get results from another chip maker today. Applied Materials reports earnings after the closing bell.
Well, the broader market's moving just a little bit lower this morning, Karen. S&P futures right now are down 6 points. Dow futures down 68. NASDAQ futures are lower by 5 points. That's a little change to the downside. 10-year treasuries down 10/32. The yield 3.72%. Yield on the 2-year 4.36%. NYMEX crude's down 0.7% at $85.01 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% at $1,767.80 an ounce. And the euro's at 1.0365 against the dollar. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're 38 degrees in Central Park, looking for breezy conditions and highs in the mid-40s today. Got construction westbound LIE in Queens. We'll tell you more in traffic. First, Michael Barr is here with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City is proposing a minimum pay rate for app-based food delivery workers like DoorDash or Grubhub. It's a first-of-its-kind plan from the city's Department of Consumer and Worker Protection for the 60,000 workers in the city. The minimum wage would be just under $24 an hour. Delivery app workers don't receive a minimum wage or benefits because they are classified as independent contractors. New York Mayor Eric Adams plans to hold public hearings on a package of bills
that will provide support for survivors of domestic violence and gender-based violence, strengthen the diversity of the New York City Fire Department, and ensure our city is not plagued by rats.
Mayor Adams says everyone deserves to be safe in their relationships and live free of domestic and gender-based violence. The mayor also unveiled plans for a new home for the New York City Football Club. Right now, fans head to Yankee Stadium to watch a match. An industrial section of Queens, Willits Point, is set to be transformed into a facility for the club. The $780 million stadium with 25,000 seats will be open in 2027. Former Vice President Mike Pence did not say whether he would support his boss, former President Donald Trump, in his reelection bid for the White House. Pence participated in a town hall event on CNN last night.
I think we'll have better choices.
Better choices
than my old running mate. I think America longs to go back to the policies that were working for the American people, but I think it's time for new leadership.
When asked about his own possible presidential bid, Pence said, "I'll keep you posted." A bus carrying 28 people seeking asylum in the U.S. arrived in Philadelphia from Texas. The Philadelphia Health Commissioner and city officials expressed frustration with a lack of communication from Texas Governor Abbott about the arriving families. Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney says, though, the migrants are welcome.
Those who arrive today are private individuals simply seeking safety and a place where they can build a future. Let's remember that and welcome them with grace and respect.
Some families are moving on to other states, including New York and Connecticut. Legislation protecting the right of same-sex couples to marry advanced in the Senate, setting it up for passage by a simple majority as soon as this week. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Good morning, John Stashow.
Good morning, Nathan. The Knicks just did something they haven't done in 16 years. They won a game in Denver, beat the Nuggets 106-103, certainly helped by Denver being without its MVP center, Nikola Jokic, who's in COVID protocol. But a big night for Julius Randle. He's playing more like he did 2 years ago than last year when he struggled. Randle with a season-high 34 points. Jalen Brunson added 21, and the Knicks are 2-0 on the road trip. Next stop tomorrow night at Golden State. The Warriors, defending NBA champs, they got 50 points from Steph Curry, but lost in Phoenix. The Warriors are 6-1 at home, but they are now 0-8 on the road. The Nets road trip ends tonight in Portland. They come home and play Sunday, and the feeling is that is when Kyrie Irving might return from his suspension. Local hockey teams all on the road tonight. Rangers in Seattle, Islanders in Washington, and the Red Hot Devils in Toronto, New Jersey, looking to make it 11 wins in a row. College hoops, Seton Hall in New Jersey lost at home to Iowa by 14. Second-ranked Gonzaga lost at Texas by 19. Week 11 begins tonight. It's Tennessee at Green Bay. Packers just had that upset of Dallas to end a five-game losing streak. Justin Verlander goes from Tommy John to Cy Young at age 39. Named for the third time, he had missed most of the previous two seasons with the elbow injury, but pitched to a 1.75 ERA in Houston. He won unanimously in the AL, the Marlins, Sandy Alcantara unanimous in the NL. Alcantara, throwback, he had six complete games. After 62 home runs, you'd have to think Aaron Judge will be able to beat out last year's winner Shohei Ohtani and win AL MVP today. And if so, he'd be the first Yankee MVP since Alex Rodriguez in 2009. John Stashow, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
I think they're due. Thank you, John. Futures moving lower on this Thursday morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. Bloomberg Sports is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning, with S&P futures down about 5 points. Dow futures down 62, and NASDAQ futures little changed. The DAX in Germany is higher, up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 11/32, yield 3.73%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.36%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6% or 55 cents at $85.04 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $8.90 at $17.67 an ounce. The euro, 1.0360 against the dollar. British pound, 1.1866. The yen, 139.75. And Bitcoin this morning is little changed at $16,500. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Republicans have won control of the House by a slim majority. It gives conservatives leverage to slow down President Joe Biden's agenda and call for investigations. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said only the return of territory taken by Russia will allow an end to the two countries' war. Zelensky spoke in an interview conducted at the Bloomberg New Economy Forum in Singapore. In the NBA, the Knicks won. The Celtics won their eighth straight. The Wizards and Warriors lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager. Let's bring you more now on that interview that Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky gave us at the Bloomberg New Economy Forum in Singapore. The Ukrainian president is speaking out on that deadly missile that struck Poland this week. Speaking with Bloomberg News editor-in-chief John Micklethwaite, President Zelensky insists it was a Russian missile that landed over Ukraine's border. That's despite conflicting claims from other world leaders. Speaking through an interpreter via video link, President Zelensky also discussed the Donbas region, the Crimean Peninsula, and conditions for peace in Ukraine.
Zelensky, thank you very much. You have it. You, You have given a very eloquent defense of Ukraine's position and of your future possibilities. Can we just clear one thing up at the beginning? The rocket that landed in Poland, you know that Poland, the United States, and others are saying that it appears to be one of your defensive rockets. I think it's clear no one blames you for this. You were trying to shoot down Russian missiles as they came in. But you have, as far as I can see, insisted that the rocket that hit Poland was fired by Russia. I wonder if you still stand by that.
Thank you for this question. First of all, everyone has to understand that there were about 100 missiles that were launched on that day. And I'm grateful for the world for the support of Ukraine with air defense and anti-missile defense. But nevertheless, you can see what are the consequences and aftermath of the Russian war. This is not the first time that the whole missile or a piece of missile of Russia falls down on the territory of another country. Some time ago, the same thing happened. The pieces of the Russian missiles fell on the territory of Moldova, and it was aiming at Ukrainian territory. I don't know what happened this time. We don't know 100%. I think the world also does know what happened 100% in that situation. But I'm sure that this is a Russian missile, and I'm sure that we were launching the air defense missiles. But we can't say specifically that this was the air defense of Ukraine, although we are grateful for not being blamed because we are fighting against Russian missiles on our territory. But nevertheless, we have to be fair and honest. Until the investigation is over, we can't say what kind of missile or what pieces of which a missile fell on the Polish territory. What we have seen, the pictures, the diameter of the hole shows that it couldn't have been just the remnants of the air defense. That's what the military told me. But again, I would like to emphasize that the most important is for the investigation to take place. Yesterday, we insisted for us to be part of joint international investigative group, and late at night, we got the confirmation, and early in the morning, our professionals will go to the site and will be part of this professional investigation.
Thank you for clearing that up. Since the summer, your military has made enormous progress in regaining your territory, most obviously Kherson. I suppose the question I have for you is, what about Crimea, which Vladimir Putin annexed in 2014? Is your war aim now to retake Crimea, or would merely taking back the Donbass be enough?
Thank you for this question. Our war is the war for our lives. As you do remember, the scale of occupation by Russia of our territory and what happened since the 24th of February. And our objective was to stay strong and bring back the life and peace on our land. Unless we deoccupy our whole territory, this will not bring peace to us. Unfortunately, this is the leader of Russian Federation. This is his decision. We see this. They don't want Ukraine to develop. Ukraine has chosen its way forward, and it will develop. And it is developing. In some areas, we're developing faster, even during the war, than Russia Federation, which doesn't have war on its soil. And so for the stability of the situation for our country, we have to take certain steps. And I think that restoration of territorial integrity of our country is one of those important steps to be made, and also the support of international community investments, and etc.
To be absolutely clear about it, deoccupying, as you put it, includes Crimea. It is an important difference, because it would be taking the border back to where it was, the effective border where it was in 2014. Is that your Is that your starting point before peace can happen?
Crimea is part of Ukraine. This is not just a state within a state. It's part of our country and part of our sovereignty. Therefore, indeed,
Chancellor Jeremy Hunt as he delivers details on the UK budget. Elsewhere in Europe, Bloomberg News reports talks of another 75 basis point rate hike from the European Central Bank lacks momentum, and it appears the ECB will slow the pace of upcoming hikes.
And here in the U.S., Karen, Fed Governor Christopher Waller is voicing support for a 50 basis point increase at the next FOMC meeting. The normally hawkish Waller spoke in Phoenix yesterday.
Well, Nathan, we have more on the collapse of crypto exchange FTX. In a series of tweets, former CEO Sam Bankman-Fried admits FTX got careless and said he would do his best to save customers' cash. New management at FTX says Bankman-Fried does not speak on the company's behalf.
Let's get the latest on the war in Ukraine now, Karen, and the investigation continuing to unfold into that missile strike in Poland that killed two people. President Biden was asked about it this morning.
What's your reaction to President Zelensky saying that the missiles that landed in Poland were not Ukrainian?
That's not the evidence.
President Biden, along with Poland and NATO, all say the missile likely came from Ukraine's air defenses, but they say Russia bears ultimate responsibility.
And Nathan, as we've been reporting, Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky insists it was a Russian rocket that struck Poland. He was asked about it by Bloomberg editor-in-chief John Micklethwaite at the Bloomberg New Economy Forum in Singapore.
There were about 100 missiles that were launched on that day. And I'm grateful for the world for the support of Ukraine with air defense and anti-missile defense, but nevertheless, you can see what are the consequences and aftermath of the Russian war. This is not the first time that the whole missile or a piece of missile of Russia falls down on the territory of another country.
President Vladimir Zelensky, speaking through an interpreter, says Ukraine will go to the blast site in Poland as part of the investigation.
Well, future U.S. financial support for Ukraine may be in question, Karen, now that Republicans have gained narrow majorities in the House of Representatives. GOP lawmakers are going to give closer scrutiny to Ukraine aid. Republicans in charge of the Financial Services Committee could also slow down actions the Securities and Exchange Commission takes, and that could benefit banks and hedge funds. That's according to some analysts.
Well, now, Nathan, let's take a look at some of the stocks on the move this morning following earnings. Shares of Cisco up 4% this morning. This is after the computer networking company gave a bullish forecast. Shares of NVIDIA are up almost 2.5%. The semiconductor maker posted quarterly sales that topped estimates after its data center business helped offset sluggish demand for video game chips. We also get results from another chip maker today. Applied Materials reports earnings after the closing bell. And futures this morning, they're lower. S&P futures down 4 points. Dow futures down 49. NASDAQ futures, they're little changed. And the DAX in Germany is higher, up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 13/32nds, yield 3.73%. Straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, 38 degrees in Central Park, headed to the mid-40s today. Still got that construction westbound LIE. We'll tell you more in traffic first. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City is proposing a minimum pay rate of nearly $24 an hour for app-based restaurant delivery workers who crisscross the city. The proposal from the Department of Consumer and Worker Protection also acknowledges that the new higher minimum wage will mean food deliveries will cost more for customers. The proposal would cover salary, expenses, and insurance. The average worker is currently earning just over $11 an hour. Former Vice President Mike Pence declined to say whether he believes Donald Trump is fit to be president again. Pence spoke during a CNN town hall last night.
Well, let me say there may be somebody else in that contest. I'd prefer more, Jack.
Mm-hmm. Anyone in mind?
But, you know, I honestly believe we're going to have better choices.
When asked whether he will run for the White House, Pence said, "I'll keep you posted." Democrats in the Senate are moving forward on passing federal same-sex marriage protections. The measure advanced on a 62-37 procedural vote, setting it up for passage by a simple majority as soon as this week. Among the GOP members supporting the measure is retiring Ohio Senator Rob Portman.
Settle this issue once and for all. Millions of American couples, including many in Ohio, are counting on their elected representatives in Congress to recognize and protect their marriage, to give them the peace of mind, to know that their marriage is indeed protected and secure.
Senator Portman says if approved, the bill would need to go back to the House for their vote before President Biden could sign it into law. Former President Trump's niece tried to revive her lawsuit against her uncle. After a judge dismissed her lawsuit against former President Trump and his siblings, Mary Trump filed a notice of appeal that said the dismissal was an error. Mary Trump has claimed Donald Trump and his siblings threatened to bankrupt her and tried to defraud her out of her rightful share of an inheritance from her grandfather. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stasiak.
All right, Nathan. The Knicks road trip began with back-to-back games in Utah and Denver. The Jazz and the Nuggets were the only two NBA teams who had not lost at home, and the Knicks beat them both. Certainly didn't hurt. The Nuggets were without star center Nikola Jokic, who's in COVID protocol. Knicks took advantage. They won 106-103. It's their first win in Denver since 2006. Julius Randle, 34 points. Jalen Brunson added 21. Nets played tonight in Portland. They're still without the suspended Kyrie Irving, but there's word Irving might return Sunday in Brooklyn. Local hockey teams all on the road tonight. Aaron Judge expected to be named American League MVP today, which would make 13 Yankees to have won 21 MVPs, and then all Judge would now need is a new contract. His good friend Anthony Rizzo's coming back. He was a free agent but re-signed. Not everyone thrives playing in New York. Rizzo does.
To be a part of this iconic franchise is amazing, and to be able to be a part of it for at least two more years it's an amazing feeling. And that's really, to be in the big market, to be under the bright lights, to have that 24/7 scrutiny is just what I love about, one of the many things I love about this game.
Cy Young winners, Houston's Justin Verlander, Miami's Sandy Alcantara, both won unanimously. Verlander making it back from Tommy John surgery to win at age 39. It's his third Cy Young, should cement him as a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's now a free agent. Week 11 begins tonight, Tennessee at Green Bay. College hoops, Texas beat second-ranked Gonzaga. Seton Hall lost at home to Iowa. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Joan Doniger.
New York is number one among the worst cities for driving. A report from Circuit, an app-based company that focuses on route planning, finds New York City has the highest congestion level, number of traffic jams, length of traffic jams, and the city ties Philadelphia for the worst driving speeds. A $52 million gift to Hunter College from the chairman emeritus of Estee Lauder. The Times says Leonard Lauder is set to announce he's donating the money in honor of his late wife, a Hunter graduate. The money will allow the school to educate more nurses. Hunter's president says this is the largest single donation ever made to a school that's part of the City University of New York. And Teva Pharmaceuticals has settled with New York State. Attorney General Letitia James says the $523 million settlement is the largest reached with an individual opioid defendant. It ends the state's claims against Teva. And that's the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Joan Doniger.
Thanks, Joan. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potosk on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about leadership changes at CBS as Paramount Global restructures.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Thanksgiving dinner will cost a whopping 20% more this year.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that shares of Target tumbled after the retailer warned the U.S. shoppers are pulling back, hitting profit and lowering its outlook.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WTVN in Columbus, I'm reporting on the latest additions to the menu at Dublin, Ohio-based Wendy's.
I'm Caroline Hepcom, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We've been reporting on the UK Chancellor saying he will face into the storm in his autumn statement.
I'm Joan Doniger telling WWJ listeners in Detroit, GM is getting ready to face investors today.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Having a moat might seem like an advantage when it comes to controlling who gets into your country, but that's not the case for the UK, where a surge in migrants arriving by boat is overwhelming the country's asylum system. In response, the government of Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has revived plans to deport some asylum seekers to Rwanda, where they'd be allowed to settle if their claims are approved. But Britain's partnership with Rwanda, which has a less than spotless human rights record, carries significant risks. It would be better to focus on fixing the existing immigration system, for example, by investing in staff and technology to speed up asylum claims. The UK has shown itself capable of leadership on some migration issues in recent years. Pushing ahead with this ill-considered scheme would tarnish its hard-earned reputation. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. S&P futures down 7 points, Dow futures down 75, NASDAQ futures down 11. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Sports is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. The dollar rising amid mounting concerns about the health of the broader economy and signs that the Federal Reserve did not see rate hikes pausing anytime soon. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 8 points, Dow futures down 85, NASDAQ futures down 14. The DAX in Germany is up about 2/10 of a percent. 10-year Treasury down 14 32nds, yield 3.73%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.36%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.75%, down 64 cents at $84.95 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6% or $10.50 at $17.65.30 an ounce. The euro 1.0348 against the dollar, British pound 1.1859, and the yen at 139.88. And Bitcoin this morning, little change at $16,500. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Republicans have won a narrow House majority. More than a week after Election Day, the party finally gained the minimum 218 seats needed to control the chamber when AP called incumbent Republican Representative Mike Garcia, who defeated Democrat Christy Smith in California. Ukrainian regional governor says a Russian missile strike has hit Ukraine's southern Odessa region for the first time in weeks. Today's blast follows the huge barrage of Russian strikes this week that also resulted in a deadly missile explosion hitting Poland. In the NBA, the Knicks won. The Celtics, they won their eighth straight. They beat the Hawks 126-101. The Wizards and Warriors lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's just about 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to get more now on the war in Ukraine and the investigation into that missile strike into Poland. For that, we're joined live by Bloomberg News Executive Editor for International Government, Rosalind Matheson. Roz, good morning. For the last few hours, Ukraine has been insistent that that strike came from Russia. President Biden overnight said that's not the evidence, but did we hear maybe a little bit of nuance from the Ukrainian president in his latest comments now to Bloomberg's John Micklethwaite?
Well, that's right. You saw a little bit of softening, perhaps, of the language from the Ukrainian president in those remarks. He still says that perhaps we'll never know 100% what happened in Poland. He's sure it's a Russian missile, but that also he acknowledges that Ukraine on that day, because they were facing a barrage of missile attacks, they were in turn launching all their anti-missile weaponry back at it. And in that moment, when, you know, more than 100 rockets are flying across its country, something potentially at some point went wrong. The reality is that either way, whatever happened, you can see a desire on the part of Poland, other NATO members in the US, simply to call this a terrible accident and move on. And to say more broadly, it reflects the reality that, you know, that Russia invaded Ukraine 9 months ago and has caused this is the after effect of that. And so you can see that there's no intent really to assign blame here, no matter what. But the Ukrainians are saying they want to go and inspect the site. They want to have a proper look at it. And they're still sticking somewhat to the idea that this was fired by Russia itself.
Did we hear any concern from President Zelensky in his comments this morning that he is worried about potential loss of support from the U.S. and NATO following this incident and trying to shore that up now?
No sense of that, in fact. And certainly, if anything, there's been nothing but stronger statements of support from NATO, including the US, since this incident. Certainly, they see it as something that was isolated. It's just one of those terrible side effects of a war, and very much statements in Bali, for example, at the G20 this week of strong support for Ukraine as the war is in its ninth month, and a recognition that they will continue to need military support and financial aid. What you do see, though, is Ukraine saying that this shows the need for better air defense in the country, and they're still calling for much longer range missiles. They're still calling for an air defense zone over their airspace. Of course, that's something that's very unlikely to happen because you have the risk then of NATO fighter jets in proximity with Russian fighter jets, and that's just a recipe for disaster. So you'll see calls for further military equipment to come into Ukraine as a result of this, but no signs at all that countries are moving away from supporting Kiev.
Well, you wonder whether there will continue to be the kind of robust support that we've seen from the U.S. in particular now that we have something of a return of divided government in Washington.
Well, that is the thing that we need to keep an eye on, because, of course, we do have the outcome of the midterm elections and the Republican Party very, very narrowly taking the House. Of course, the Democrats retaining the Senate. And what you can see over in the next 2 years until the 2024 presidential election is essentially gridlock in Washington through Congress. You do see Republicans very strongly supporting Ukraine, but equally some questions about the extent to which financial support should just go untethered to Ukraine into the foreseeable future. So you may see some questions come through Congress on that, but it's very unclear, given that the slim nature of their majority, how much of that they can contain.
Thanks for this. As always, Roz, good to have you on with us. Rosalind Matheson is executive editor for international government for Bloomberg News. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:52 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Now let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The American Institute of CPAs is calling on the Internal Revenue Service to further define digital assets and virtual currency. Federal law enforcement has charged two Russian nationals with criminal copyright infringement, wire fraud, and money laundering for allegedly running the pirate e-book site Z Library. R.J. Reynolds and other tobacco companies are appealing a federal judge's rejection of their bid to prevent California's ban on flavored tobacco products from taking effect.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching. As he makes another run for the White House, former President Donald Trump is facing a slew of legal troubles with potential criminal indictments and perhaps a civil trial or two. But Tuesday was a good day for Trump in the courts. Judges dismissed two civil cases against him, a fraud lawsuit by his niece Mary Trump and a retaliation lawsuit by his former lawyer Michael Cohen. And Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Bloomberg legal reporter Eric Larson about the dismissal of Mary Trump's lawsuit.
Why did the judge dismiss it?
Well, the judge decided that Donald Trump and the estate of Robert Trump, who passed away, and Marianne Trump had correctly argued that the 2001 settlement agreement had explicitly released any of Mary Trump's potential future claims arising from this whole dispute. You know, the judge says it was unambiguous, that it released them from all future potential claims. Of course, Mary Trump and her lawyers argued that that was really kind of void, considering her claim that they had specifically deceived her and lied to her for years. And her lawyer argued that it was clear that the deception was intended to rip her off, essentially, and that therefore the contract releasing them from claims wasn't valid. But the judge said that there was no language in the contract that specifically said that Donald Trump and Robert Trump and Marianne Trump needed to be truthful to her. So that was kind of unusual.
Unusual is one way of putting it. He said the settlement didn't mandate the elder Trumps to be truthful. Quote, if plaintiff did not wish to forego suing on fraud she might discover in the future, she could have insisted that the releases be conditioned on the truth and accuracy of the financial information provided by defendants.
But, you know, Mary Trump's lawyer, Roberta Kaplan, a quite skilled litigator, you know, she's planning to appeal this. She said she's going to argue that there is enough evidence or claims in the complaint to get around this release of all claims, you know, including her claim that Trump and his siblings threatened to withhold health insurance to one of Mary Trump's young family members who is suffering an illness to try to twist her arm into agreeing to this settlement, which, of course, the elder Trumps have all denied doing anything like that.
Eric, is the timing of this decision a little odd? The motion has been pending for quite a long time, and then the judge hands down the decision on the same day that Trump has said he's going to announce another run for president.
I mean, it was certainly at least a strange coincidence. I do know from speaking with Mary Trump's lawyer over the years that she has been waiting very anxiously for this decision on the motion to dismiss and has been saying for quite some time that the decision was long overdue. So for it to be issued, on that same day, of course, did sort of stand out. But Mary Trump's lawyer definitely said that this took way too long, especially given the age of these defendants and the fact that Trump is now running for president again, which in her view, she seems to believe that this decision should have been issued sooner rather than later to give the case a chance to move forward before he's actually running for president again.
And that's Bloomberg legal reporter Eric Larson speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLaw Go. Futures this morning, they're extending their losses. S&P futures down 21 points and Dow futures now down 165. NASDAQ futures down 65 and the 10-year Treasury down 13/32nds, yield 3.73%. And our top stories are straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.